All right, hi everyone. My name is Sean McKenna. I'm a program manager in the Windows Phone application platform team, and I'm here with Greg Hugdahl, who's a developer in the team. I was in a little while back doing a video with Laura talking about some of the Windows Phone applications that we're building internally, just to test out the platform and to give developers, you guys out there, something to play with and learn how to build great Windows Phone applications. So one of the apps that I talked about at that point was the level application, so just a simple spirit level application that you can see to see if your channel 9 table is level or the picture frame in your den. And obviously a key component of the level application is the accelerometer. And so we thought we'd do another video today and do a deep dive on the accelerometer and some of the helper classes that we're going to provide as part of that level starter kit. To help you build your own applications with the accelerometer. So obviously, the application platform on Windows Phone, we've taken Silverlight and XNA, existing platforms. We're really excited about people being able to take their existing skills on those platforms and bring them over to the phone to build really cool applications. But one of the things that's unique about the phone is the accelerometer. And so I thought we'd start off by just talking a little bit about what is the accelerometer and why might you want to use it. So Greg, maybe you can tell us a little bit about what it is.
Sure. I mean, as a general thing about the accelerometer, it's basically a new sensor that is available on the chassis one. And this sensor can be used as an input for users to measure the orientation of the device or to get the vibration information or basically general acceleration that apply to the device. We're going to basically drill today on the details of the API from the managed perspective. We also created a helper class that we are going to share as part of the starter kit. This helper will probably be useful for most of the developers because it addresses few of the typical problems that will be encountered by the developers.
Right. So the accelerometer is so as I'm tilting the phone around, my application can find out how that phone is moving and then be able to incorporate that into my application, right?
So basically, the way this is working, if you take a device, you can imagine that we have basically a three axis, the x-axis being the vertical ones, the y-axis being the horizontal one on the flat device, and the z-axis being the axis going up upward from the flat surface of the device. And the orientation is important because actually if you're looking at a device position on a flat surface, the gravity applied on the device will basically give a negative value. And as you're basically moving the device in every direction, you get positive or negative values. So the orientation is very important. So those are the, this is an accelerometer that has the support for three different axes.
Okay. So how does so I'm a developer now, I want to start building an application that uses the accelerometer. Just give us an idea of sort of what the API looks like and what is the type of data that I'm going to get back that I would need to incorporate into my application.
So it's a very simple API, actually. So you just need to incorporate a reference to the Microsoft device sensors. And then basically in your code, you need to reference the accelerometer object. This is a singleton. And from that point, you need to register to event, which is a sensor. I forgot actually the name. Sorry, can we?
It's all on MSDN, people.
Okay. basically the reading change event handler. And from that point, you're going to get three double values, which correspond each of them to the axis, the accelerometer value on each of the axis.
Right.
The data itself is actually in G. So one would correspond, the magnitude of one would correspond to the acceleration, of the Earth gravity. Normally normalized at Paris location, which is actually equal to 9.81 meter per second squared.
Right. Get out your physics textbooks again to remember all of this stuff.
Yes. So basically a value of minus one on the z-axis will indicate that your device is flat on a surface. If you tilt your device in different direction, that same value of one in a static position will be changing to different axes
right.
and different directions, basically.
Right.
So,
and so it's an asynchronous programming model as well, right? So you register for events, and then basically as the device moves around, I'm getting notifications back that I need to deal with, right?
Exactly. So basically, the frequency of the notification is at 50 hertz. Since the data is always changing continuously due to the nature of the sensor, we are getting relatively high precision and actually also some noise.
Mm-hmm.
We are picking up not only simple vibration that happens all the time around us, but the actual sensor itself has some inherent noise that we are not capable of eliminating totally. So the data will continuously change every 50 hertz, and you can expect basically to get a stream of data at that frequency.
Right. So it sounds like the raw events that you're getting back, you're getting high precision, but a little bit of potential noise and data that doesn't actually map to what you need. And so this is why we thought it would be important to provide people with an accelerometer helper, right?
Yes.
So you want to talk a little bit about what that does?
Sure. So basically, we found out that the data that we are getting from the device had some noise, inherent noise, even when it's supposed to be completely steady. So that was one of the problems. And the second thing is there is always a little bit of error on the orientation of the accelerometer itself, or the axis of the accelerometer itself compared to the orientation of the device or each of the axis of the device itself. So for application that needs to have some relatively high precision on the orientation, we thought it was actually interesting also to offer some calibration of that accelerometer axis orientation. So those are the two main features that we're providing with the helper. We are providing a method to filter the noise out, and we have actually implemented three different type of filters that people can choose for their type of applications.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go into details of the three types that we have later, because I've captured some data from the device earlier, and I'm going to show basically how this is being transformed to those different filters. There is nothing very complicated, but it's always nice to have those things already taken care for you.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. So the data that you captured and sort of how you figured out the way to smooth this out.
So basically, I've got a graph here that basically indicates the data being captured from the device. So what I did, I captured the data earlier, and I took my device, I took one of the axes here, it was X, and at some point I did the calibration. So I run the calibration method that is provided by the helper. So initially I was getting a little bit less than 0.1 G when the device was steady flat on the table. At the moment I calibrated it, basically we took the zero as being the offset to compensate it by the error that we had initially. So from that point the value now is showing a little bit of noise, but around the zero, since it's calibrated. Now, the raw value that we were getting from the accelerometer itself, the raw data from the managed layer, is still around 0.08 or something like that. But we just adapt this value now, and the data that the helper itself is providing as raw data is now adjusted for this offset. We have the possibility with this helper, by the way, to calibrate both the X and the Y axis, not the Z axis for obvious reasons, since there is no way of having the device oriented in the around the Y the Z axis.
Right.
So this graph now shows basically the nature of the data, and it's pretty noisy. We for many applications that need some form of steady signal. This noise may be actually difficult to deal with. So typically what we are doing to filter the noise, there are several solutions. I mean, you can do a running average. So basically you take several past samples and you run the average of those samples. So we are providing that type of filter. The problem with that filter is as relatively low reaction speed, reaction time, so the latency is pretty high. And I'm going to show you basically this graph now with the smoothing, the averaging.
So just so people understand, this is some smoothing that you did as part of building the level application, but basically all of the work that you've done to put that into the accelerometer helper should just work in any application that wants to use the accelerometer, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So this now, the graph here, the red line is showing that same signal now transformed with the running average. So, of course, you can see that there is some latency. I mean, those are our seconds here. And so this will not be appropriate for a very fast reacting game. Mm. But it could be very useful for some type of slow reacting, tilting application. It's also actually something that we are using ourselves for the calibration algorithm. So we basically measure the current state of the device, and we actually use the running average as the value that we want to use for the offset. And we're also using that as a way to measure, since the calibration cannot happen, I mean, we're trying to prevent the calibration to happen in non-reasonable situations.
Right.
Basically, when your device is tilted too much or it's not actually in a steady situation, we are using that value to actually prevent the calibration to occur.
Because there's no point in calibrating if you're bouncing the device around, right? You want to make sure it's in a nice, steady, stable state.
Right. So basically what we're doing is we are validating that the data is not changing too much around the average data for a certain period of time.
All right. Cool.
Yes.
So let's jump into some code.
Okay. I mean, just before that, I wanted to show you very quickly the two other types of filtering that we are providing. The second type is a low-pass filter, and this is probably the most ideal case in general. Oops, where is this? So the low-pass filter now here in black is basically just a simple first-order discrete low-pass filter. You can see that the latency is a little bit better. We are smoothing very nicely the signal. We are eliminating all the noise, but we have a faster reaction. Actually, we choose about 1 hertz frequency, cutting frequency for this low-pass filter. This can be adjusted, but this worked relatively well in our case to eliminate most of the noise and provide a relatively medium latency on the signal. And now, one last type of filtering that we provided is a kind of combination of the low-pass filter and the raw data. Since the noise itself is actually relatively limited in magnitude, we are able to use that at our advantage to actually get some kind of the best of both worlds. And this is mostly interesting for fast-reacting UI. This is the red signal, and you can see that this signal is actually pretty steady when the device is actually also in a steady position, but it will trend very quickly to any change of position. Now, of course, at that moment, we are picking up also some of the noise during the fast movements, but typically in a kind of fast-reacting game or typical fast UI, this will be probably acceptable in those conditions. And what really is important is to make sure that when the device is not supposed to move, we are able to show a very steady type of signal.
Hmm. All right. Now let's jump into some code.
Okay. So I wanted to show you quickly how you can make an application that will use the accelerometer and the helper.
Just one plug here for developer.windowsphone.com. You can go grab these tools and follow along at home with the demo that Greg's going to do.
Okay. So I just created one here a little bit earlier. And the main thing to do is to include as a reference the Microsoft device sensor, first thing. And then you want to grab the accelerometer helper class, which is in the file that will be provided as part of the starter kit. along with it, we need actually also to have two small class. I mean, actually one here, principally the simple 3D vector, which allows us to do quickly, you know, manipulation of 3D, you know, 3D axis vectors. And if you're interested also to have orientation information, so this is another helper that we are providing. I haven't actually talked about this earlier, but as part of this level application that we developed, we also added the possibility to have orientation detection. That's one of the typical application of the accelerometer. And in our case, the interesting thing was we wanted to not only be able to detect changes of orientation in landscape and portrait,
which you get in the platform by default,
which we get through the shell, but we wanted to actually get full three-axis orientation.
Right.
So this helper goes a little bit beyond, and this could be very interesting for people that have games that want to make use of that.
Yep.
It will be able to give you six different orientation of the device, including upside down, flat, mm-hmm. which is quite unusual, but yep. you know, that may be useful in some cases.
Yep.
So now, once you have included all those different classes in your application, you'll need to actually reference the Microsoft Phone application common namespace. And
which is where we're putting a bunch of the stuff from the apps that we're shipping as sort of little extra helpers and bits and pieces that people can use.
Exactly. And wherever you need to basically... I mean, the accelerometer itself, the accelerometer helper itself, is just a singleton. So you just need to reference the accelerometer helper class instance and change the active state to true. From that point, it will turn on the real physical accelerometer. From
so then you'll start getting the readings that we talked about.
Well, not yet, but okay. The helper itself will, you know, start activating the physical device. So this is interesting, actually. You want to make sure that when you activate the accelerometer helper, you actually do it exactly at the moment where your application needs it, because there is power consumption involved. It doesn't come for free.
Yeah.
So if you need it, if you don't need to use the accelerometer at some point,
yep.
you will need to actually turn it off.
Right.
To make sure that your battery life will remain as high as possible.
Yep.
And the second thing that you need to do is basically register for the events that we are getting from the accelerometer helper itself. Those events contain additional information from the raw events from the managed layer, as I talked about earlier. We have now actually three different filtered value in addition to the raw value. Now, from that point, you're getting notification every 20 milliseconds from that event. If you want to update now some UI, you need to make sure that you switch to the UI thread.
Yep.
At that point, I made a simple application here where I wanted to display some simple bubble, like, you know, our application,
yep.
but in a very simplest
yep.
fashion. And you know, this code here is simply reading, in this case, the optimally filtered acceleration, although we can change that. So that those are the different type of data that we are getting from the accelerometer helper. We are getting the average, the low-pass filter, the optimal case, and the raw acceleration.
So this is going back to the graphs you were showing in Excel, the different options that you have.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So at that point, for example, I'm going to choose the raw acceleration to show you how the data is relatively noisy if we don't filter it. And I'm going to basically change the position of the bubble using that particular reading. Of course, by, you know, readjusting the scale and the offsets of the bubble based on the canvas that was defined in my XAML. This is basically the XAML that we have. It's very simple, very basic.
Doesn't get much simpler than that.
It doesn't get much simpler than that. So it's a simple ellipse that we are trying to move around based on the accelerator X and Y. And we are ignoring the Z axis at this point. Now, I'm going to deploy this application to my phone. All right. So this is the first version, which has the raw accelerometer. We're basically picking up all the noise on the accelerometer here. You can see that even when it's steady, the ball is shaking a little bit. As soon as I'm moving, there is even more noise associated with the accelerometer data mixed in with the signal. So this is the raw data. Now, the good thing is this data reacts very quickly. There is very low latency. I'm going to change this to use the low-pass filtered. And I'm going to redeploy this to my device again. All right. Now what we have is actually very filtered data coming from the accelerometer. You can see how the ball is moving very smoothly as I'm inclining the device in both directions. So this is now also showing that with that type of filter, there is a big lag in the reaction time of the data. Now last, I'm going to actually demonstrate the best of both worlds, which is the optimal solution. It's actually optimal for most cases. The reason it's actually called optimal is because we are trying to give a very steady signal when the device is not moving, while picking up very quickly any important changes. So now during those changes, it will pick up also some noise, but not as much as if we were directly using the raw data. All right. So as you can see, the ball is very steady when we are not moving, and it basically moves, picks up changes with a little bit of noise, but not as much as in the previous case. And if I don't move, or if I try to keep my hands very steady, the ball will stay.
All right, very cool. So just a reminder to everyone, this is code that's part of the Level application that we're releasing as a starter kit. You can go in there, play around with the level, and change the colors, do whatever you want, but probably more importantly, grab those few classes that Greg showed, and you can drop them into your own application and just have at it. So once again, thanks, Greg, and developer.windowsphone.com is where you can go and get the tools and all the starter kits and documentation, one-stop shop for all things Windows Phone application development.
Yep, thanks everyone.